You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by Homewatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
97.9 FM WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. Now, Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode of Caring Connections on WCHL. Today, we will be discussing the flu with Dr. Melissa Bishop, family physician at the Moncure Community Health Center with Piedmont Health Services. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's going to be such a pleasure to hear about this topic. Not that we want to get the flu, but we need to get the word out about the flu. And you brought with you some of the top 10 things that people don't know about the flu, but probably should. And the first one, the first and foremost, and I think it's probably the biggest barrier, is that people think the flu shot causes the flu.
Wrong. The flu shot does not cause the flu.
Pinky swear.
Cross my heart. I cross my heart and hope to die that the flu shot does not cause the flu. The worst thing that can happen to you from getting the flu shot is you might get a little sore in your arm, at the very most a low-grade fever, but that is nothing compared to getting the flu.
So kind of like a tetanus shot that we all get without a problem.
Not nearly as bad as a tetanus
shot. Not even that bad.
Mm-mm. No, it's really very mild reaction, if at all.
Okay. I'll trust you. You seem very trustworthy person. Now, the next one is, the flu is just a bad cold.
Mm-hmm. Which is another barrier that we face because people think that they've had the flu over and over and over again every year and they survive and therefore they don't need the flu shot. But actually, the flu itself is a much more serious illness. When I see a patient with the flu in the office, I know it immediately when I walk in because the person looks like they've been hit by a truck.
Ugh.
And that's another reason that people think they might be getting the flu from the flu shot is because they might just get a common cold after they've had the flu shot.
Yeah.
And they'll call that the flu, but it's not the case. The flu is a terrible illness. It will give you a high fever, body aches, coughs, sore throat. You can get some runny nose. Children can get nausea, vomiting, diarrhea.
Mm.
But it is a severe illness.
Sounds like fun.
and worth vaccinating, worth preventing.
Yes. Okay, how about this? I've heard this one before. Well, it's just the cold weather that causes the flu, and we're in North Carolina, so.
North Carolinians get the flu. The flu happens in the winter. That's when the virus tends to circulate in the northern hemisphere. But it does not come from cold weather. It comes from other people that have the flu. So in the cold weather, we tend to congregate together. Mm-hmm. Indoors, we're a lot closer. We cough on each other, and we spread this germ.
Lovely. And how about this? If you're young and healthy, you don't need to get the flu vaccine.
The recommendations are now that everyone get the flu vaccine. We need everyone to have the flu vaccine because we want to protect the people in our population that are most vulnerable, which are the very young, the elderly, and people with chronic disease, because those are the people who will suffer complications and can die from it. But even the average healthy person, if they get the flu, they are going to be missing at least a week of work.
Wow.
They're going to be laid up in bed. And it's costly, uncomfortable, and preventable with that vaccine.
And the last one of your top 10, I don't need to get the flu vaccine because I just don't get the flu.
Mm-hmm. Not true. So in the average year, between 5 to 20% of unvaccinated people will get the flu. So if you haven't gotten the flu yet, that is wonderful. But eventually your number will be up and you'll get the flu.
You'll win the lottery.
Yes. Vaccinate now.
So what exactly is seasonal influenza or flu?
So the flu vaccine, the flu virus is what causes influenza, the illness. So the illness is characterized, like I said, by a high fever that it's like you're hit with a ton of bricks. You suddenly get a high fever, body aches, chills, sore throat, cough. And this is caused by a virus that circulates every year between November and March to April in this part of the world. And it's a really tricky virus. It's different from other viruses like chickenpox and measles because it changes. It constantly changes. So every year we need to make a new vaccine. We're always kind of chasing our tail, trying to find just the right vaccine in order to prevent this illness because it will come back like clockwork every single year.
And different.
Mm-hmm.
So what about, so you talked about some of the symptoms. What are some of the other more common symptoms besides the achiness and the fever?
Cough, sore throat.
Those are typically.
Are typically that. You don't need to have all, there are people who will have just a low-grade fever and a cough or just a low-grade fever.
Yeah.
Especially children might just have stomach symptoms.
Okay.
But during flu season, if anyone who has a high fever with those type of symptoms can be assumed to have
the
influenza
flu.
Or influenza-like illness.
Okay. So who exactly is most at risk for becoming seriously ill from the flu?
The people who are most at risk for complications from the flu are newborns.
Mm-hmm.
They can't, newborns and infants under the age of 6 months can't receive vaccinations. So they're most at risk and they're the most difficult to protect. The elderly over the age of 65 are most at risk for complications. People with chronic diseases such as diabetes, respiratory diseases like asthma and emphysema, neurologic problems like dementia, people with disabilities and pregnant women are at especially high risk for having complications.
Okay. And how about when exactly is the flu season? I know you said in this area it's November-ish to March, April. Is that for the entire country or is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Northern
in the
Hemisphere around November through March, April. We'll start vaccinating this week in my clinic.
Okay.
The vaccine usually becomes available.
So the vaccine's here
in
now.
Late August, early September.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can get your flu shot.
And can people die from the flu typically or?
Yeah, there are. People are often surprised to learn how many deaths we have every year in the United States from influenza. So in an average year, about 30,000 Americans will die from flu or complications of the flu.
And typically the high-risk group people?
Yeah, and 90% of those people are the elderly over the age of 65.
Oh, that's so sad.
So all the more reason to really pay attention to prevention.
Well, we are going to take a short break. I'm here today with Dr. Melissa Bishop, family physician at the Moncur Community Health Center with Piedmont Health Services, talking about flu prevention. And I'm your host, Nicole Bruno.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM, WCHL, supported by HomeWatch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Dr. Melissa Bishop, family physician at the Moncur Community Health Center with Piedmont Health Services, talking about flu prevention and treatment. And I'm your host, Nicole Bruno, on WCHL. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay. So we were just talking about the truth of the matter that many, many thousands of people die every year in the United States from the flu. How exactly is it spread from person to person?
Most flu is transmitted by what we call droplets. So as you talk, cough, breathe, there's tiny little particles coming out of your mouth that are spreading through the air, and they can spread as far as 6 feet. So if you're within 6 feet of an infected person, you're at risk for getting infected. And there is also a little bit of transmission just by those droplets landing on surfaces and then someone else touching that surface and then touching their own mouth or nose or eyes.
Okay.
So
that's probably why kids spread it so easily.
Yeah.
In that kindergarten classroom. Oh, boy.
Yeah, and daycare centers are a hotbed for flu transmissions. So for prevention, it's really important to do constant hand washing and just try and keep your hands off your face as much as possible.
Is that instant hand sanitizer the way to go with the flu?
Mm-hmm.
That works okay?
Soap and water isn't always handy, and the hand sanitizer is there and it works.
Is it soap and water still first choice, though?
Soap and water, for flu, they're probably equally good. But for general disinfection, soap and water is always the best.
Always the best. Okay. Now, this show, Caring Connections, is all about, you know, supporting the caregiver and flu prevention in caregivers. What do you have to say about that?
I think that caregivers are a really special and important group when it comes to thinking about flu prevention, because they're right at the intersection between the population at large and the really vulnerable population. Mm-hmm. So it's especially important for them to make sure that they're vaccinated to mm-hmm. avoid transmission to a more frail individual, but also that if they develop any symptoms at all, they should seek treatment as soon as possible to avoid transmitting it. They mm-hmm. should make sure that they kind of quarantine themselves and not continue their caregiving activities if they themselves are feeling sick.
Okay. So that's
They're probably the front line for protection of the people that they're caring for.
Okay, that's good to know. Now, this flu vaccine, if I got it last year, will it still work this year?
No, unfortunately, it doesn't.
Doesn't have a long shelf life.
We need the flu shot. It's kind of what they call it, drift. So the components of the flu virus that infects us every year is constantly changing slightly, mm-hmm. and they're always changing the vaccine slightly to keep up with this virus, with the biology of the virus. So every year we get a fresh vaccine.
Do you know if you get the flu vaccine, can you still get the flu?
So the flu vaccine, how effective it is varies from year to year, depending how good a match it is between the actual virus and what they anticipate the virus will be. Mm-hmm. And it also depends a little bit on the individual or the host, what their, you know, how strong their defenses are, how healthy they are. But in general, the effectiveness ranges between 60 and 80%.
Okay. So,
and even if you don't have full protection, getting the flu shot, even if it isn't a perfect match that year, it can still help prevent a really serious case of the flu. So even if you get sick with the flu, you won't necessarily be sick as long or
as severely. Symptoms are more mild.
And it can still prevent complications. So even if you still get sick, you might be less likely to get complications like pneumonia.
Okay. Now, how soon after being exposed to the flu, if I'm in that 6-foot window of somebody who's coughing and sneezing all over me, like my children, how long do I have?
So, on average, people will get sick about 2 days after being exposed.
Oh, this is a fast incubation period.
But the range is 1 to 4 days.
Okay. And how long is a person with the flu contagious?
They are usually contagious for 5 days after their symptoms start.
Okay. What makes you not contagious anymore? Typically, is it that you're not coughing and sneezing all over?
No, I think that it has to do with the life cycle of the virus.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. And I know you mentioned before that a lot of people die from the flu every year, so I would imagine an even larger number actually gets sick. Do you have a sense of that number?
I've been told about 200,000 hospitalizations on an average year.
Hospitalizations, but that doesn't include people who don't go.
A number of people get sick. So whatever the U.S. population is, a fifth of that, maybe.
Oh, holy cow. Mm-hmm. That is a huge number.
Yeah.
Wow. That's actually a shocking number. Okay. And can the flu be treated?
We have treatments for the flu. There are two important things to remember when it comes to treatment of the flu. One is that the treatment isn't great. Mm-hmm. So prevention is by far the most important way to prevent having complications from the flu. But once you have the flu, especially if you're in a high-risk group, treatment is very important. So there are two main antivirals that are used to treat the flu currently. One is a spray and one is a pill, and they work by decreasing the duration of the illness mm-hmm. and by on average a day. So if you were going to have flu for a week, you might have it for 6 days. But in high-risk people, it would also decrease the risk of complications.
Okay.
So if you are a person with any of those high-risk conditions that I mentioned, mm-hmm. so a chronic disease, a child under the age of 5, or a person over the age of 65, as soon as you think you might have the flu, so if you suddenly have a high fever, body ache, sore mm-hmm. throat, cough, you should see your doctor immediately, because this medicine only works... It works best if taken within 48 hours of when the symptoms start. If you're in a high-risk group and it's been up to 5 days, it's still worth seeking treatment, but you'll get the best response to the treatment if you take it within the first 2 days.
So you need to act fast.
Yeah, act fast.
Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Don't stick it out. Okay. Now, I've often heard that you can't get the flu vaccine if you're allergic to eggs. Is that true?
So the flu vaccine is made in chicken eggs. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of the protein from the egg within the vaccine, but really vanishingly small amounts, and it turns out much less than was previously thought. So I think as a reaction to the H1N1 outbreak in 2009, when it was really imperative that we wanted to get people vaccinated,
sure,
and we didn't want to deny vaccination to people unnecessarily, that this question was really looked at much more closely. Mm-hmm. And the ACIP, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices for the United States, has recommended that persons with egg allergies can still receive the flu vaccine, that it is not, they're not at high risk for having a severe reaction, that the only recommendation that they make is that the doctor who's providing this vaccine is familiar with dealing with allergic reactions and that they're observed for 30 minutes after the vaccine.
Okay.
So you should definitely, if you have an allergy, you can still seek out the vaccine. Just let the person that's giving you the vaccine know that you have a history.
So you can go this year and get it.
Yes.
That's a good thing. And just a couple of seconds here before we take our next break, but does the flu vaccine also prevent that H1N1 that you just mentioned?
This year, the H1N1, and last year, the H1N1 is included in just the seasonal flu vaccine.
So you don't need two shots.
Nope, just one shot this year.
That's awesome. Great. Well, we are going to take a short break. I'm here today with Dr. Melissa Bishop, family physician at the Moncure Community Health Center with Piedmont Health Services, and I'm your host, Nicole Bruno.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Dr. Melissa Bishop, family physician at the Moncure Community Health Center with Piedmont Health Services, and we're talking about the flu vaccine and flu prevention. And I'm your host, Nicole Bruno. Welcome back for our final segment of the day.
Thank you.
And I know we really want to talk about, before we move on to great resources that you did bring with you, choices for flu vaccine. I understand there's more than one.
There are three now.
Okay.
There is the regular flu vaccine. Mm-hmm. It's a killed vaccine. That's the reason it's impossible. It's incapable of giving you the flu illness. It's a killed vaccine, and it's the one that's used most widely. Anyone can receive that vaccine.
Okay.
The second vaccine is the nasal spray that I'm sure you've heard of. That has a live attenuated vaccine, so it's a live attenuated virus. So the virus, there's actual virus in it, but it's virus that has been disabled and is completely incapable of causing illness, but can generate an immune response and is good for people who don't like shots.
Okay.
It can't be used by people who are over the age of 50.
Oh.
So for people between the ages of 2 and 50, it is a viable option. It can cause a little bit of nasal congestion in addition to the instead of the sore arm that you get with the shot, you can get a little nasal congestion and maybe a low-grade fever with the nasal vaccine. And the newest vaccine on the market is this kind of extra-strength, double-strength vaccine that's being that's been prepared for people over the age of 65. Because their immune system is a little bit weaker, they don't amount the same immune reaction to the regular vaccine. So the idea was if they were to receive this double strength vaccine, the vaccine would be more effective. So they have shown that this new vaccine will cause people to have more of an immune response, but they haven't actually shown yet that it's actually better in preventing the flu.
Okay.
So the CDC doesn't really make any statement of preference for the over 65 population over which shot is better. They just want you to get a shot.
Something, please.
Something,
just do
please.
Something.
Everyone.
Okay, and resources.
Resources. There are two really great resources. So if you are interested in learning more about the flu and you go, you just Google CDC and the flu, you will find more information than you can ever assimilate about the flu. You will be the flu expert in your neighborhood if you
good bedtime reading
website.
Material.
Yes, it's excellent. I've been reading it nonstop.
For insomniacs.
It's great. It's riveting. It will not help you get to sleep because it's really interesting. And then once you know everything there is to know about the flu, you'll be curious about what's going on in your own community. Okay. And the North Carolina Department of Public Health has a great flu tracker site. So if you just Google North Carolina flu tracker, you can get to a page that will just actually show you how much flu is happening in various areas of North Carolina week by week. All winter long, you can stay
just
abreast
track
of the
it.
Flu
situation.
Yes.
Very
good. Hurricane season's over. Flu season.
Start tracking the flu.
Yep.
Okay. Now, any parting thoughts in the last minute or so that we have here?
Yes. I just to reiterate the most important thing about the flu, it's actually a huge public health issue. Many thousands of people die from this in our country every year. And the best thing we can do to confront this huge public health problem is prevention. The best treatment is prevention. So everyone, please get your shot. Everyone should get their flu shot, every American. Other ways of preventing the infection are, like I mentioned, don't touch your face, wash your hands constantly, avoid sick people.
That's kind of hard to do.
If you become a sick people, you're a sick person yourself. There are two things you can do. If you're a sick person who is one of the high-risk people, so over age 65, child under the age of 5, someone with a chronic disease, go to your doctor right away. Don't wait. You want to get there within 48 hours. If you're a sick person who's at low risk, stay home. Don't leave your house for at least 5 days.
Okay. Well, that is very strong orders from the doctor here. So we will listen. Thank you for joining Dr. Melissa Bishop and I as we discuss the flu vaccine and flu prevention. Melissa comes to us from the Moncure Community Health Center with Piedmont Health Services on WCHL. And as always, you may email your caregiving issues to caring@1360wchl.com. Thanks so much for joining us.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as those people affected with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by HomeWatch Caregivers. You can hear this and any other program of Caring Connections on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Be sure to email questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.